There's an interesting sita that actually I just thought today. As a matter of fact, says that why do we says why do we open the door for Eliyahu and Navi, right? We're at the end of the Seder over here. So there's this brings from Bonim in Tashitcha. He says that he recognized the lashon of the Gada. Shere Eliyahu Hanavi the chulato hu amechaber metader et hagada. So Eliyahu Navi revealed it, and he says therefore we find the lashon baruch hamakom baruch hu, which is that's the same lashon we find in Tanan Bel Eliyahu. The paper that Eliyahu Navi wrote, and it used the same type of a lashon. So he says that that's because it's a similar lashon. He's the one who wrote the Haggadah. And he says, and that's why it's after we said the whole Haggadah, and like the way that Eliyahu Navi wrote it, Shimi Menu Shabbo Marutza, and so we hope still come soon or whatever. And that's why at the end of the Haggadah we open the door for Eliyahu Navi, and he wrote the Haggadah. So it's interesting. But it's based on the Mishnah. So the Seder is based on the Mishnah. So let's go on from where we left off yesterday. Talking basically, we're in the middle of the drasha of the Pesukim. A couple more things from that. There's the Lashonos over here. It says that B'nai Israel, Paru, V'yishvitzu. It says in the Torah, so the lashon is funny, but Himalaya Aratosam, in the vernacular in Hebrew, it sounds like what it means is that the ground was full of them, right? That the ground was full of the children. Not that it means Pashup Chav is that there are a lot of them, but Himalaya Aratosam means that the ground was literally full with kids. So you can dig in the ground and find kids. That's the lashon. So what's Pshat? So he says interesting. Based on the Midrash says that the when Paro made its Zerah, and I lost that they killed the kids. So they hid them out in the field, and it says, and then when the Egyptians came to searching for them out in the field, the ground swallowed up the kids, and obviously Nate, and they got, and then when the midstream left, then they sprouted out from the ground, as we see later on right here in the next, right after this, it says, Varach, Mashneva, Varavava, Ketzeme, Chasada, Nesatihi. They were like Ketzeme, Chasada. They grew out of the ground. They came out of the ground after. So therefore, you can explain it, you can understand it literally. Believe they are still some. The ground was full of them. With all these kids, they're literally full of them. They got absorbed into the ground. Also another lashon thing, it says in the pasuk vayarei osanu hamitzrim v'yananunu v'yitnu aleinu avod akasha. So what's this pshat vayareu, right? That it means that the lashon ra, bad. That they had made it. Again, simple pshat would be they made our lives bad. Vayareu osan. But then it says difficult, meaning, because what does it mean to make our lives bitter or bad? Because they made us work. It said right after that, and they gave us hard work. So it's like redundant. We already said, very osanu misreim. Also, they bring down that the lashon osanu is funny. Because it doesn't, in Hebrew, it doesn't read. It should be by yareu, alanu. Right, otanu means they made us bad. That's what it means. Right, they made us bad. So what does that mean? The Egyptians made us bad. So first of all, that they made us bad could mean that since they gave us this hard work, etc., and we're things we couldn't be able to get in our ruchnias or Yiddishkeit or whatever, so we became bad people because we couldn't be involved in the Torah. So that's what it means. They made us bad. Another thing he says that They made us bad, as in they thought of us as bad people. They said, "Hey, look at this. We gave them a place to live, and they want to start a war against us. They want to rebel." And meanwhile, it says, so whoever, whenever a person thinks something bad against somebody else, usually he has that same meter. And that was basically them. They the one that had a lot of cards that over and everything Yosef like, did for them, and then they, you know, they put on, they want them to make, give us all this, Vodakasha, etc. That's what they made us bad in another Pasha. I think it's an interesting Gemachi over here. Because it says, in the first beginning of Sefer Shemot, where it says that Hava Nitzchak Malo, the Paro said, you know, come let us, so we have a problem on our hands. Hava Nitzchak Malo, we ask an Eitza. So Chazal say that there were three that were Boso Eitza. He had three of his wise men, and he asked them what to do. They were Eob, Yisro, and Bila. And it says that Yisro, when he heard, he ran away. And Eob, he was quiet. He just stood there, didn't say anything. Yisro ran away. And Bilam was the one that gave him the bad Eitza in the end. So there's a Gematria, ready for this one. He said, Gimomol Beoso Eitza, Eob, Yisro, Ubilam. Eob Shatach, Yisro Barach, and Bilam Ya'at. All this in Gematria is 3,316. Which is the same gematria of Haba Nitzchak Malo Ken Yirbe Vayak Yisekrenu Milchama V'Nosaf Kamu Al Soneinu V'Nil Chambavanu V'Alam Min Anaret. Pretty amazing. Also, we said that Bilam was the one that gave the bad Eitza. So Bilam and not Trikon. Bilam Beit Lam and Ayinem is Be'etzba Laku Esther Makos, and that's Bilam. That because of the eights of Bilam, that's why it led to the the bad times, and they were punished with the Esther Makos. Next, it says that the Vaya Nunu, okay, that they Lashon Inui, they made our lives they caused us Inui suffering. They made us suffer. So they gave us the bad, this hard work to make us suffer. The question is, how do we know that's why they gave us hard work to make us suffer? Maybe they just gave us a hard work because they wanted slaves to do work for them. How do we know that they did it to make us suffer? So the answer is the Hemshech. It says Shenamar Yasimo Lav Tarei Misim Laman Vanos Adam Zivotam VeYiven Arim Iskanos Lachar It's Peace on Ramsey. That they gave us a bill, Peace on Ramsey. So as the Midrash tells us, it's a peace on. It's called Pitom because it's Lashon Pitom. That every 7 years, the way they built it is that it just collapsed after 7 years. So, therefore, obviously, the Pharaoh didn't make us do this building just because he wanted slaves and having things built. So why would he? It was just going to collapse. Therefore, he did it just to make our lives miserable. That's why we can put the Vayam in. And also, we can see, they ask, well, why is it? Why did the Pharaoh do this? Right? Why didn't he, the last thing is all these slaves might as well, do something productive. So he says that he hated the Bnei Israel. It says, the Yakutsu, Bnei Israel, he was so disgusted with Bnei Israel, he hated him so much that he didn't want to get any hana from them. He didn't want to, have them do something for him, build a real city or something. He didn't want to get any pleasure from Bnei Israel at all. That's why he just had these cities collapse. He didn't want any pleasure. He just wanted to give it a start. Okay. It says, V'yitzak Elohim Elokei Avoseinu. And they cried out to God, right? Elokei Avoseinu, the God of our fathers. So he asks, why does it have to say they cried out to the God of our fathers? It says they cried out to our God. Right? Our God's not the same as the God of our fathers. It's the same God. And they cried out to our God. Why is the God of our fathers? So he says, because in Israel, they felt they were so far from Hashem, so they mentioned that they couldn't be involved in the Ruchnias, and a lot of the Avodah Zarah, a lot of them, they were also in the Avodah Zarah. They felt they're so distant, they're on the 49th level of Tumah. So they felt they're so far from Hashem that they didn't have to themselves. So therefore, when they cried out, they couldn't cry out, oh, Hashem, save us because we're so great. They weren't. They felt themselves that they weren't. So they said, the only schuss we have is the schuss of our Avon. And that's why they cried out to the Elokei Avoseinu. And in fact, as it says, that they were, we really were saved for the Slus of Arava. Right? It says in Shmos, right? But you call Kim as we saw as the offering of Yisrael, as you see them as remember the covenant of the Arava, and then he said, no, should take us out. He was asking the Slus of the Arava. We at that point didn't have too much Slus world. Okay. It says, the Yama Sefelach Mitzrayim. It says that the king of Mitzrayim died. And then the Anchuvenetzomi Havodah, Rizaku, and they cried out, and then their crying went out to Hashem, Mina Havodah. So the question is, why didn't they cry out until now? It says the king of Mitzrayim died, and then they cried out. So the famous Shla, he says that that the Mitzrayim made the vote so hard on them that they said that they weren't even allowed to, they were careful to make sure that they weren't even allowed to cry. They didn't let Bnei Yisraelim cry. Some say because he knew that they were going to cry out to their God, and their God might do something. So they made sure they didn't cry. Well, what happened? Now came the king die, and now everybody has to cry. So they had to let them cry also, because everybody's crying. They're supposed to cry by the king dies. So they respect the king, has to cry. So everybody's crying. So they thought they're crying for the king. But no, they were crying out because of the avodah. So that is the Tal Shabbat Tamim, Yalo Kim, Min Avodah. They weren't, like, the king died, they weren't crying for the king. They were crying because of the avodah, and the hard avodah. Okay. Okay, it says that Yisrael Hashem and Mitzrayim, and it says that Hashem did it by himself, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kvodo b'atzmo. As it says, Baruch Hu Yisrael Lazev, v'keiti, etc. And it was only Hashem. He did it by himself. So the question is, why was this final gula, Amakas Bechoras, why was the dafka only in Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why did he have to do a dafka himself? Maybe there's a couple of answers. One answer is, because there's so much tuma, I mean, we try him with such a tuma to take a play, that the malachim couldn't even handle it. Because the Hashem couldn't send a malach, the malach wouldn't get out of there in one piece. But it's such a tuma to take a play. So, therefore, Hashem, another choice, he has to do it himself. And they bring out, so we see here certain milas that the Bnei Israel even has greater than the Malachim. In Moshe Rabbeinu, it was able to go into the Mitzrayim and come out on the Skad, where it was not a problem. They were like, brought up. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu, like, he went into Mitzrayim and he came out without, but the Malachim couldn't. If they would have gone down, they would have been affected, and therefore,
by the people?
By the tomb of Mitzrayim.
Oh.
And another thing is why did Hashem come himself? Because Hashem didn't want it to do it through a shaliach, because then we would when we thank Hashem, we would think, well, it's Hashem, but it's also the Shaliach. You know, let's thank his Shaliach that he sent to take us, you know, we'll get that in a second, but it was like Shaliach from Shemayim, right? We want to send him, because obviously it was supernatural, the whole thing. So obviously it came from a Shemayim. But if we said, yeah, Hashem and Malach Ploni, you know, so he didn't want, no, Hashem wanted totally the him, right? Hashem wanted us to be Meshuba to him, and only him, and therefore it was only him that came as the final Gula that came through only in Kodesh Baruch. And they say that's one of the reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu's name isn't mentioned in Nagada. Just one place, incidentally, was Yashir over there, but besides there, it's not mentioned at all, which is really ironic, right? So you think, if somebody who never saw Nagada before, you say, whose name do you think is mentioned most in Nagada? You know, of course, say Moshe Rabbeinu. It would be full of it. Every second word, Moshe did this, and Moshe did that, and Moshe did this. But, right, that's all the serious story is Moshe Rabbeinu. And not one time in the mention of God. It's a bell. So this is one of the reasons. Say, but again, like with the two thing a little bit, that if Moshe Rabbeinu would be mentioned, and then maybe we'll have to stop on like that. Oh, yeah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, of course. Moshe Rabbeinu, look what Moshe Rabbeinu did for us. Wait, what Hashem did? No. It was me. Right, and Moshe Rabbeinu is, you know, going through this step, but it was me, and you're responsible to me, you have to thank me, and just, you know. I read another cute chat one, reminded me why isn't Moshe Rabbeinu's name mentioned? It says, because Moshe Rabbeinu, He was the first person in history to Mitzrayim, the Mitzvah Sibrisius Mitzrayim. Why? Because they did it and they were in Mitzrayim, they didn't need Sibrisius Mitzrayim, they lived it, they were there, right? So what happened? But Moshe's kids were not there, they were in Midian, right? They didn't come back. So Moshe, you know, came to this and says, oh, you know what happened, and this happened, and that happened, and he told his kids, which was the first person in history, the Mekayim Mitzvah of Sibrisius Mitzrayim, right? But Moshe remained, he was Anav Mikol Adam, right? He was the most humble. So he obviously didn't say, and I did this, and I did that, and then I did this, and then I did that, right? He didn't, he was so humble, he probably did that, and did this, and did that, and he probably left himself out of the whole story, right? And Anami. So we pattern our Sibrisius Mitzrayim after the first Sibrisius Mitzrayim. But Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't mention the name. Like he didn't manage it, don't they? Because it was humble. Okay, let's go on. He was on Messiah, he told over, and he didn't necessarily make Knusa, but he said over the, you know, obviously what happened, told him the whole story of this happened. Okay. It says, Darshan of the Pasuk, Zavarti Beresarim Lalo is there, etc. And, Katie, we're going to come in there, and then we say, Vizor on the Tuya Zua Kerev. So he asked, where we could see Kerev in Mitzrayim. Right, the Eter Machta is not one of the Eter Machta, not Chera, it's not a sword. Where a sword from? So he says, brings from the Kobol, that well-known Midrash, that when it came time for Machta Bechoras, and the Mithrim were told that their firstborn are going to die, so the firstborn made a civil war. They said, nothing doing, let's get these, we don't want to die, get to you now. And they said, no, so they had the civil war. And they said there was more killed by the Mitzrayim, they killed themselves more than Hashem killed. So that could be said that's the cherub. There was the cherub was the sword that the Mitzrayim themselves, the firstborns, killed their own people. Okay.
They killed those that are not firstborn. So if the sword was killed, they only got to kill the firstborn. The firstborn killed, yeah. More people were killed. Yeah.
Okay, and then it says over here, the Mora Gadol, Uva Osos. So on that, the Haggadah says, what's the Uva Osos? He says, Zeh HaMateh. This is the Mateh. So what's Pshat in the Mateh? So some say the Kavanah is simply the Mateh Moshe Rabbeinu, right, that he used to do the Makkah. And we're also told that on the Makkah were the letters, the Tzach Hadash Be'achav. Right, the Ezra Mamakas are written and inscribed on the Makkah Moshe Rabbeinu. The Midrash says that. And therefore, Osos is Lashon Os, letter. That Uva Osos, the letters, this is the, it means, like Silpshah, the signs, right? But it could also look as an Os, as in letter. So there were the letters, meaning the they learn out. Osos is a Mateh, because the Mateh had letters on it. The Tachkadash Berachav. And also it says, there's a Remez. It says in the pasuk, "Gamis agoy asher yadaboru dana nochi," right? That he said to Avraham Avinu by the priest. I'm sorry, Hashem said that also the nation that is gonna enslave you, though I'm gonna judge dana nochi. So dan in gematria is mata. It's the same as mata. Dana nochi is a mata. In other words, Hashem's gonna judge the goyim through the letters that were written on the mata. Okay, and it says umosim zehadam. So where's the remnants to Mosim that's dumb? So because the Mosim in the Torah is written chaser, it's written without the yud. And if you write it without the yud, like mem, so then it's the singamatria of Mofes dumb. So the remnants. Okay. So then he goes through a whole thing. I'm not going to do it, but he goes through every single makkah. He discusses it and all the things that the Baruch Hashem brought it. And spend the whole day just going through all the other makas, so I think the most important, but I'm skipping that. And also the Val Yam Laku Chamishishi makas, he goes through 50 makas that were on the Yam, all 50 of them. He goes through every single one, and this is like a couple, just an idea. Just, what were they, there's supposed to be 50 makas on the Yam, I'll mention a couple. He says, "Zapal Pisharu Paro Bavadav Shiatsu Bnei Israel V'Yad Chazakav V'Sanenu Shiachu Mesam Mishnis Kol Rolam Yevdof Achari Bnei Israel." One miracle was that even though what that happened, they chased out the Yidden. They said, "Get out of here already!" After the Machas Bechoras, that was it. They couldn't take it anymore. Get out! They chased out Bnei Israel. Even then, they chased out Bnei Israel. And then what happened? Then they start running after them.
Munchie.
They chased them away. Get out of here. And they said, hey, wait, we're coming after you. So now Hashem, that is a miracle. Hashem put it in their hearts that they should chase Bnei Yisrael. What is it? Another one, he says, Afakad mina Mitzrim, lo ayev, lo nichshal, avo pisha yuatsim. Even though they're running like crazy, but none of them tripped, none of them fell when they're chasing after me. So why? Because they would have tripped and fallen. They would have said, "Uh-oh, it's obviously not meant to be. Let's not do this. Let's go back." But they didn't. Hashem made it that nothing happened. They ran. They didn't get tired. They didn't trip. Now they said it'll get there, so that they wouldn't think that this is a bad simon going on here. That just had to go like 50 different things.
What was that for them?
Okay, so it says that Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Aminai, should call Mako, Makas Vingosh Baruch, Lala Mitrim, Hata Arba Makos. Right? So he darshans out that each Mako was really four. So he says, what's Pshah? How shy is that every Mako is four Makos? He says very, very simply, he gives a mashal. He says, let's say somebody, punches his friend in the mouth. Okay? So that's a Mako, right? But what happened? Because of that punch, besides the pain of the punch, what happens is his teeth might break, let's say. Then dumb will come out of his mouth, will go on his, which is another bad thing, and then he'll be bleeding. And then he'll go on his nice brand new suit, and stain in his suit, and that'll ruin his suit, and it might be in front of people, and he'll be embarrassed, and the way he looks, or whatever. So you see, it was really one mock, he punched him in the mouth. But because of that, he had a whole bunch of things that came out from it, right? So too, same thing over here. He gives an example, makadam. Okay, really it was one makadam. But because of that, they didn't have water to drink, and they were thirsty, and the fish died, and they had to spend a lot of money to buy the water from the Yidden. You know, that was like four different things. It was
always buying from the slaves, like, you know, from my slaves out here, I'm giving you money to buy water.
Right. So in other words, you can have this one makadam, but it can have all kinds of makas and come out of it. That's what he said, he teaches makadam.
Very different thing.
Okay, so the famous question, famous answer, I always thought it was a grub, but he brings it in the name of Yivra Yoro. Is that, why do we, then the more of them, Rabbi Kiva said, how do we know that each Maka in Mitzrayim was five? And then, and he goes, so why do they want to make so many Makas? Who cares? Okay, it's Maka. No, there's one of four, and then, no, there was five each Maka. Why do you get the Marbe and Makas? So the famous answer is that it says that it's a call in the pasuk call a machaler or something be Mitzrayim lo asim alecha keni yesh Hashem rochecha, that every machad I gave to the Mitzrayim I'm not going to give to you, and therefore the more machad we can say they had, the more machad we're not going to get. That's why they're the marvin machad.
More the merrier.
Okay, it says that then we say kama marlos tovos lemachom aleinu, and then we have the famous song Dayenu. And the how many milas? There's 15. So why dafka 15? So he said that it's mechuvan. It's patterned after there's 15 simani, right? The kadesh and rechaz, the whole seder is set up with 15 simani. So can we get that? We have the 15 milas tovos. So the whole chesed, Hashem is rabat zayim adam. So we call both parallel. So every chesed Hashem does for us, you have to do something connected that. That's why we have the 15 parts of the state. Okay. Says that one of the Dayenus is Ilu Haraget Bechoreihem, Alona Sanlanu Es Mamonam Dayenu. So if he would have killed the firstborn, but he wouldn't have given us their money, that would have been enough. So yeah, Bechor, that wouldn't have been enough. Because Hashem promised Avram and Avinu that they're going to leave Acharkein Yitzu Berchush Gadol. So how can we say that? No, but no, it wouldn't. It was a promise that has to be kept. So he says that a couple answers. One answer, he says that promise could have been kept without us taking any money out of the time, because we got money at Kriyas Yamsuf, Biza Sayyam. Right? So we didn't have to leave with any money. What? And he also says, "Alpha by dumb. They bought that we got out of rich by dumb. That they paid. That they gave us the money. When they wanted to get the water, so they paid us. So we became rich. It says on the law from the law that they bought. So that we got money from them that way. And also it says that the real, the promise of Rechush Gadol was only after 400 years of the Parsha's dropping. And we were only there for 210. So Hashem didn't really have to give us the money. Right? Because, yes, Hashem promised Abraham, but he says, so it's only after 40 years. We weren't there for 40 years. Hashem could have said, I said, after 40 years, it's only 200 in debt. So, but still. It's a different explanation.
Yes,
I knew it was going to happen. No, I'm trying to say that it's quality, not quantity. In other words, we suffered a normal servitude for a year, but we suffered extra. And then
Hashem knew all that.
But we said but it didn't wait. It was 400 years. Yeah, we had 400 years of slavery that we did in 210 years.
Not a theater.
I'm going to tell you.
Also, I can say
that that's the beginning of the. And it's late Yitzchak, it says, from the time when Yitzchak was born. It was 400 years. Yeah.
Also, I think it was kind of a tough for Jewish people when they're going out from Egypt, who carry all of the gold, all the kind of dust probably slowed it down, and from Egypt, and then they got even more. So, you guys have given them. Everything at that time when the Egyptians drowned, they would take everything with them,
right.
And he would.
Right, that's what we're saying. He didn't have to give us now, but he did.
But it's not good that he gave us now, because it was like a slap of a carry, whatever, all the things.
No, but it's good, because that's why the Mishrim came running after us.
So they said,
hey, they took our money, let's go.
Oh.
That's why Okay, so the famous question is, and another one is Dayenu's, is the Yilu Kiravanu, Snehar Sinai, Velonasan Lanu, and the Torah Dayenu. Right? That one of the Dayenu that Hashem, had he brought it to our Sinai and not given us the Torah, so that would have been enough. So everybody asked, that would have been enough. What's the big deal? Standing in front of our Sinai, not going to give me the Torah, what's the that would have been enough, just to stand in there, nothing's happening. Oh, that would have been enough. Okay, very, very nice came on. But by the way, so we came out in front of Heart C9, nothing happened. Okay, Diane, that'd be enough. At least we got together. So one answer they say is that they didn't give us the Torah, but he still would have told us if there's that Noch Hashem Elokecha, we would have heard Hashem, talk to us without getting the Torah, so that was also worth it. We didn't have to get the Torah. So, I mean, that would have been very nice to get the Torah, but that's what we're saying, and we would just heard it enough yet. Another answer is, uselessly, he said, that we know that the Avos, they kept the Torah before it was given. Right? So how did they do it? Different answer to this. So he explained that the Torah is the total Ruchnias, and if a person, the only reason why a person needs the Torah is because he... As soon as he brings his own ritzonus into the picture, what he wants, then he loses the effect of the Torah. And therefore, if a person is totally mabatler themselves completely, and then they would be able to know the Torah without having to, without having the Torah itself. And therefore, that's what it says, when we got to Har Sinai, we were on that level, Shem brought us to a level where, in fact, we could know the Torah without it being given to us. We were on that level. Right, it was only after, the Chet HaEgel, whatever, and then it came, then we lost that. Right, so therefore he says, therefore there was that we were at least, we were brought at least to that, level there, that we could have made the Torah without it, and I mean, that was our Torah being given. And that would have been enough. Okay, then we get to the part of the Seder that Rabban Gamliel says, whoever didn't say these three things in Pesach, you're not Yotzi. Pesach Matzomar. So one question he has is, why by these mitzvahs do we say the Pesach Matzomar, or do we give the Tam of the mitzvah? The reason why we're why Pesach, because Shem Pasach, why Matzah, because it didn't rise. Why are we giving up the reason here? So he says that whenever a mitzvah, the reason of a mitzvah is written in the Torah itself. The Torah tells us the reason. So therefore, there's a dakan inyan to say it, because that becomes like part of the mitzvah. It's like part of the mitzvah is saying the reason. We bring this from Marshlamite, so when it comes here also, but also by Sukkah, right? Because when you're making a motzi in the Sukkah, the first night of Sukkah, you should daka, and I'll see Rav Lef, I announce it at the table, that everybody should have in mind that when you're being yotzi, kibbutz Sukkot, Shabbos, it's been Israel, and one reason they give it, that you should say that and have that in mind. And since the Torah says kibbutz Sukkot, Shabbos, tells you the reason, therefore we see that's like part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is eating, having in mind that this is the reason. If the reason is part of the mitzvah. So too, these things are, I tend to read it in the Torah, and therefore, that's why we dafka mention the reasons. Okay. So he says, asks on the matzah, right, al shum shalom speak that they come shalom asinu lachmit. So he says, ask the practical question, how is it shaya that everybody, just happened to have, dough and ready to go and so everybody was like baking their bread over here on when they're leaving the shrine. Like, oh, I'm a person, but what? Like, why? Like, most of the people, everybody, they all had the dough ready to go. But they didn't have time.
No, they give everything ready.
They made flour or water. I don't know, but they were didn't have to make bread. And everybody like making bread. Then what a coincidence. Simple shot is, because they're going out on the way. So they know they're, before you travel, you should have some food with you for the way. He says that according to the Seder Olam, he says that Pesach was when an heir of Shabbos. Okay, so therefore, everybody needed challahs for Shabbos. So that's why they all have this, they're baking their challahs. Everybody says, okay, it's the heir of Shabbos, we got to bake our challahs. Then you all had to go for Shabbos. No, three. So he said, and that's very good. Then Ulai Lazen Noslim Laseder, why do we use three matzahs on the Seder? Kema Shabu, Gimel Malachamim, Gimel Suda, Shil Shabbos. Then they have a lechem for each Suda. So that's why they had the three. And that's what they had. Therefore, that first thing mentioned depends on the Pesach Matzah, and know anything on the Maror, that that was
my
only
father was
later because of the Nor to get the good.
My father it happened the same thing. He first passed his kid and his kid crying and he gives me
so okay. Okay. So now we're coming, to the end of Magid, and we then say the first two parts of Hallel, the first two paragraphs. So another famous question, why do you, it's very strange, we're dividing up the Hallel, right? We say the first two parts, stop, then comes the well, the mitzvah, the sudah, and only at the end, then we continue the Hallel later on. So why are we breaking up the Hallel like that? So he says a simple answer, as from the Seder HaYom, that since the first two parts can talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore we want to make it part of Magi, because Magi talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so the first two prophets are talking about just take these Mitzrayim, the second part. So that those are you know it's just Mitzrayim things, and therefore we want to say it now because that's what we're talking about now. It's just Mitzrayim Magid. So therefore we speak to say it now, and then the rest is talking about praise to Hashem and stuff so that we can say it till later. Right. So they said because the reason why we're saying it at night is because
instead of
the
shul,
right? Right. So we have to say it at night, and it's not everybody that's in shul. It depends on the minute, but we say we do say it at night, which is unusual. We don't normally say it in the daytime. So it's because that the it's connected to when the time of the in the time of the Mikdash, when they did the Korban Pesach, they would say Hallel on the Korban Pesach. And therefore, since that night, that's when we bring the Korban Pesach. Now we know the Korban Pesach, but, you know, it's the Seder is connected to that, so therefore we have a lot of night connected. And some say that's the Iker, therefore the Iker Hallel on Pesach of the night one. That's why some say the Zafi should say it, sure, or whatever.
Why is Shul? Because Shul is not everybody's
name, but the Iker one is just has the Seder. Well, some say that's the Iker, okay, well, not everybody is in Shul, so it's not even, some don't have the name. So we skip there. Yeah. Then we say in that second Keta paragraph over here in the Hallel, Yam Ran Vayanos, and then the Mizmizer says, what did the sea see in order to set it split? It's Ra Aronosho Yosef. Saw the casket of Yosef. So there's all kinds of drashas over here. What's the connection? Why Dafka the casket of Yosef of everything? And then what Dafka that make it split or whatever? All kinds of interesting drashas. He says here from the Be'er Maim Chaim, he says that that Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with us, Hashem Tzilcha. He deals with us like a sail, like a shadow, right? Whatever we do, Hashem shadow, then he comes in and he does likewise. If we do something, we do good, Hashem does good. We do bad, Hashem does bad to us. Whatever, he's like a shadow. So it says that if a person acts with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, l'malo miyatava, right, he does, goes beyond the, does things like supernatural, superhuman, let's say, superhuman things for Hashem, Hashem, again, shadows, and he gives back, and that's for that person, supernatural things. So it says, since Yosef, right, he was acted like superhuman when he was, living in Mitzrayim the whole time, and with all the tumor, with all the everything, and yet he still stays strong, and even more so, the whole mice was Asia's Potosifar, right, when he wants to seduce him, whatever, and he stood the test, whatever, so he acted as superhuman, but now Hashem acted as a supernatural also, and that's therefore when his Aaron came through, the sea split, and it was obviously a supernatural event, and then for Yosef, who acted as superhuman, that's the connection. Okay, we say the Lashon Rav Lev likes to say that it's actually a tosis in Sakhi. But we say at the end of the bracha, Gal Yisrael, Asher Yegia Zamamam Al Kirim Yitzachak Wal Ratzon, V'Nod Elacha, and we'll give thanks to you, Shir Chadash Al Gula Zeinu, a Shir Chadash. So they ask, the tosis mentioned this by we see the lashon when we say in davening, right, in the evening shira chadash, the morning shira chadasha shivku gulim. So that's why the Yitzchak Mitzrayim is called shira chadasha, and whereas here we're talking about the future gula, it's called the shira chadash, and it was one masculine feminine. So Tosa says that it's in Kushi Tzayin Amud Beis. Tosa says that the Geula Mitzrayim was not the final Geula, right? It was another, it was the Geula, but then again, we went to Galus, another Geula, another Galus, another Geula. So it's like a woman that, she gives birth, and then the next two girls, and she gets pregnant, and she gives birth, and it's just like it's a Geula, but that's not the end. It keeps producing. So that's, therefore, by the Mitzvah Mitzrayim, we say it's Lashon feminine, Shira Hadasha. Whereas by the final Geula, Yes, Hashem, but Karbi Yemenu, there will be the final Geula, and therefore there will be nothing after it, no Tsaras, no Galus after that. There will be Shir Chadash, like if male doesn't give birth, is this the end? And Yes, Hashem, we should all be together in Yisrael, with the Mashiach,
soon.